Hallelujah. There is a better day and a better home. Thank God for the good singing tonight. It's come time for our last message this evening. We have been honored to have Brother Joe Arthur with us last night, and he was in service with us this morning. I appreciate the preaching that we heard from this man of God last evening. But I'm here to tell you, he's got a message for you, and you listen to him. I love this man. He's a blessing. He loves camp meeting, and he loves preachers, and he loves the Spirit of God, and I like that. You may not, but I do. Amen. Brother Joe, you come and preach to us. I love you.
God.
Amen.
I don't know if I can or not. Glory to God. You know what that was? Having them two saints of God, that's like Maze Jackson and Billy Kelly and Hinker Little coming back from the dead and preaching in the camp meeting. And what a blessing. Praise God. And I'm going to try not to run a rabbit, but I want to so bad. Why would any church trade that off for the new stuff? I can't figure that one out. I'll never be able to figure that out. I felt God on that. If I may quote my dear friend Stephen Dagenhart, I believe Jesus likes that. I believe Sarge does too. Amen. Hadn't it been good to be here tonight? Brother Rudy, that's great. I love you. Always have. Thank God for your preaching. Brother Rudy always takes you to Jesus. He doesn't have an agenda, and I appreciate that. And I love the Hayes family over here. I've loved them all their lives, just about it. And I love Stephen Dagenhart, and I love Brother Fox. And every time I look over there, I think Rule ought to be sitting over there. I remember one night, and by the way, thank you for having me again. When somebody asks you to come preach for them, that's a privilege. Then they ask you, especially me, if they ask you to come back, that's a miracle. But when they ask you 28 times in a row, that's unheard of. This makes my 28th trip. But I remember one year I struggled. I had Zacchaeus in the hog pen. I had Daniel up a sycamore tree. I never did get Jonah out of the belly of the whale. It was terrible. And I walked over and I said, Rule, I struck out. And I was wanting him to say, no, you did all right. You know how you do. I said, Rule, I struck out. He said, well, Joe, I'm going to tell you, son, if you don't never win another race, you're still my horse. You can't beat friends like that. And I'm so honored to be here, and I love you. And I thought about just quoting a little scripture about heaven and then going to eat. But I can't get away from the message God has put in my heart. And I don't want to do anything, nothing to grieve or hinder the Holy Spirit. I just want to be obedient to the Lord for a little while. There's somebody here tonight really needs what God's doing. And won't you open up your heart and receive it? Just open up your heart. Let God just move on the inside. I used to love to hear Wade Huntley tell about when God filled him and Preacher Bryant and Preacher Barbie with the Holy Ghost one morning at the Blue Ridge camp meeting. Brother Wade said, when I come to, his brother Buck had him straddled, slapping him upside the face saying, get a hold of it, boy, get a hold of it, boy. He's wanting to give it to you. Get a hold of it, boy. Praise God, I'm glad he got a hold of it. And I'm glad it got a hold of him. And I just want you to know, if you don't believe in the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost, that don't bother me. I believe it enough for me and you both. And if you don't want your portion, pass her down to me, buddy. I'll take a double. Woo, hallelujah, I feel good. I wish I could scream like I used to. I can't. So if I point at you, you scream. Y'all got praise groups. We'll have designated screamers. Say amen, right? If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 41, and I promise you we'll do our best to be brief, and when that light comes on, we'll go have some fellowship. I love you, Brother Steve. I remember that morning on the way to the hospital when I felt like my ministry, my life would be over. And Julie said, we're going to call Brother Steve. And right before I went under whatever they put me under, you prayed for me. And I appreciate that. And I'm glad I woke up too. Say amen right there. And I loved you before that, but I love you even more because of that. You know, just when you think it's over, it ain't over. It ain't over till God said it's over. That doctor said, now listen, you'll never be normal. And I got back in the car and hush. Julie said, what'd he say, honey? He said, I'd never be normal. She said, baby, you wasn't normal before they operated on you. He said, it's never going to be like it used to be. I said, well, at least I got a little something left. And so God is good. I feel a shout coming on. If you're here tonight and you got a good set of vocal cords, scream real loud one time. That's what I said, glory to God. Woo! 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is, sit with me, a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, here's my text tonight, said out loud with me, there is nothing. Say that with me again, and there is nothing. And he said, forget it. Turn back. Throw in the towel. Nothing's there. We might as well go to the house. No, and he said, go, say that with me, again. Go again, one more time, two more times. And he said, go again, say it with me, seven times. I love verse 44, and it came to pass. At the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud. There riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up now and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain hinder thee not. And I love what it says in 45, and it came the past. In the meanwhile, that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, say this with me now, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. In our text tonight, they went from no rain to the sound of an abundance of rain, to black clouds like the size of a man's hand, to a great rain. And when they first looked, that was nothing. But God, like he's always done, reaches into nothing and does something because he's everything. Can I say that again? God, like he always does, reaches into nothing and does something because he's everything. And for a little while tonight, I want to preach from this text on why to go on when there's nothing. When you've prayed and there's nothing. When you've preached and there's nothing. when you've hoped, trusted, believed, when you've done all you can do and seemingly there is nothing. Why go again when there is nothing? Now, I believe in the text tonight, you have an Old Testament illustration of a New Testament verse. The Bible said in the New Testament in James 5:17, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions. That means that he was not only a man of faith, but he was a man of fear. He was not only a man of great faith and success and victory, but he was a man of failure and doubt and depression. He knew what it was to soar with the eagles on the mountains, but he knew what it was to crawl on his face in the valley. He had seen God bless in the good time. He had seen God bless in the barren times. He had seen God move in the mountain, and he had seen God move in the valley. There's one thing tonight you learn about the life of Elijah. That is, our geographical location does not diminish God's ability to meet our need. I enjoyed that so much. Can I say that again? Our geographical location does not diminish God's divine ability to meet our need. For whether it's a mountain high, or a river wide, or a valley low, or a burden heavy, or a battle hot, I'm glad God is able to reach into our nothing and bring out something, because God is everything. I believe in our text tonight, he is subject to that like passion. I believe in the text tonight, he is going through what I call a nothing season in his life. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm really not impressed with different preachers and singers and people who try to give you the idea that every time they pray, they move the angels of God. And every time they preach, God stands at attention and moves and saves 1,000 people. That every time they say claim it and name it, God moves mountains in their life. I mean to tell you, there's times when you're going to sing and nothing's going to happen. There'll be times you're going to preach multiple sermons and you won't even enjoy it yourself. One of your friends will tell you, if you never win another race, you're still my horse. You will pray and claim and trust and hope, and seemingly there is nothing. But can I remind you tonight that nothing time is not doubting time? Can I remind you tonight that nothing time is not quitting time? Can I tell you tonight that nothing time is not turning back time? Because you may see nothing, and the church may see nothing, and your critics may see nothing, and the devil may see nothing, but God sees something on the other side of your nothing. And from the text, real quickly, I want to give you why we go again and keep on going when there is nothing. Four words that begin with the letter C. Number one, write down the word command. The word command. You say, Brother Joe, this servant went and looked and brought back the report, there's nothing. Why did he go again? Boy, this is simple. Because the authority figure in his life said go. Go again. You know why he went? because he was told to. He was commanded to. That was what he was supposed to do. He could not make it rain. It was beyond his ability to make it rain. It was not his responsibility to make it rain. All he's supposed to do is go, because that is what he was told to do. There's nothing wrong with God's people doing what was supposed to do, because we've been commanded to do it. There's nothing wrong with doing it, because that's what God said to do. Now, don't get me wrong. There is joy in serving Jesus. There is a thrill in serving Jesus. There is a wonder in serving Jesus. There is a desire in serving Jesus. And there's even a burden serving Jesus. But can I remind you, sometimes the joy is not there. And sometimes the thrill is not there. And sometimes the burden and the zeal and the desire is not there. But I've come to tell you, when your burden's not there and your zeal's not there and your desire's not there and the joy's not there, the command is always there. You say, Brother Joe, give me one good reason why we ought to read the Bible. 'Cause he said so. Give me one good reason why we ought to go to church, because he said so. Give me one good reason why we ought to worship the Lord, because he said so. Give me one good reason why we ought to witness, because he said so. You pastors will love this one. Give me one good reason why we ought to tithe, because he said so. Give me one good reason why we ought to live right, because he said so. There is a command from our master. There is a command from our Lord. And when you don't feel like it, pray anyhow. When you don't feel like it, preach anyhow. When you don't feel like it, sing anyhow. When you don't feel like it, go to church anyhow. When you don't feel like it, give anyhow. There is a command, and that's how you go when there's nothing. When you prayed and there's nothing, and you preached and there's nothing, and you've hoped and you trusted, there's nothing. Pray again, hope again, preach again, love again, serve again. The command is always there. Go, 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 go again. There's nothing wrong with God's people doing right, because he said to do it. Because I said so. Someone said, Brother Joe, do you miss your children at home? I miss them dearly. They have families of their own, but I miss them. And this is what I miss so bad about it. As long as my son and daughter were at home, there were at least two people I could say to, because I said so. You say, well, doesn't Miss Arthur still live with you? She don't care if I say so. And there's others close to me that who they're married to don't care if they say so. Oh, you remember your mama and daddy saying, because I said, let me tell you something. If I can do it because mama said so, if I can do it because daddy said so, I'm confessing, if I can do it because Julie said so, honey, I can do it because Jesus said so, and the Holy Ghost said so, and God the Father said so. I know I can't make it rain, but I can go. It's not my responsibility to make it rain, but I can go. Let's do it tonight. He said read. He said pray. He said preach. He said give. Let's do it tonight because of the command, and there's nothing wrong with God's people doing right, because God said to do it. Command. Number two, on the heels of that, write down this word, the word compliance. The word compliance. It says in the text, and so he went. And so he went. And so he went. You know what he's doing? He's simply obeying. By the way, everybody's looking for a formula, some secret super duper formula to be a great Christian. There's one word in being a great Christian: obedience. 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 God expects you and I to simply be obedient. How in the world do you think God uses somebody that don't have a lot of talent? Because they've been obedient. How in the world do you think God uses somebody that doesn't have a great education? Because they're obedient. I've heard people say this about singers. I've heard them say it about preachers. I've heard them say it about me. I don't know why in the world God will use somebody like that. Well, have you ever thought about this? They were obedient. They gave God everything. They didn't hold anything back. I don't believe tonight God's looking for ability. I don't believe he's looking for talent. I don't believe he's looking for flaming personalities. He's just looking for somebody that'll throw the white flag of surrender and trust and obey. Trust and obey. He's following commands. He can't make it rain. He's not responsible if it rains. They're not even going to hold him accountable if it don't rain. The only thing he can do is obey. 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 It's not your responsibility to fill up heaven. It's not your responsibility to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's not your responsibility to see that people get saved. Our responsibility is to witness and to pray and to preach and to plan and to sow and to water. But you remember this? And if you don't get a hold of this, you'll run yourself crazy. You plant, you water, you plant, you water, you plant, you water. But there's only one that can give the increase, and that's the sovereign God of the glory world. But I'm glad if I plant, I'm glad if I water, he will give the increase. You say, but Brother Joe, I preached in my church last Sunday and nothing happened. You go back and fire it up, Bubba, one more time. But Brother Joe, I passed out that track, like Brother Tom said this morning, and they throw it in a trash. Pass her out one more time. Oh, but I got up and I sung my heart out, and that crowd played on their telephones. Sang it one more time. Pass it out one more time. It ain't your responsibility to bring revival. You can't bring revival. It's beyond your ability to bring revival. Hey, I'm glad for the sovereignty of God. I'm glad for the omnipotence of God. I'm glad for the unrestrained, unlimited, out the bank, over the top. Lord God, I feel like preaching of the amazing power of God. Hey, I know I can't make it rain, but I can go look. Moses couldn't separate the Red Sea, but he could lift up the rod. Moses couldn't heal the disease of the people, but he could lift up the serpent. Oh, Daniel, hey, hey, hey. Samson couldn't defeat the Philistines, but he could sling the jawbone. And Gideon couldn't defeat the enemy, but he could wield the sword. The disciples can't turn the water into wine, but they can fill up the pots. Martha and Mary can't raise Lazarus from the dead, but they can't roll away the stone. The little old boy can't feed the 5,000, but he can bring the lunch. I can't bring revival. I can't turn America back. I can't see the water parted, but my God, I'm going to lift up the rod. I'm going to pack the lunch. I'm going to fill up the pots. Hey, you do your part and live for God and obey God. God will reach in your nothing and do something because he's everything. Just obey God. Just obey God. Just obey God. Hallelujah. Command, compliance. Hurriedly, word number three, write down the word consistency. Consistency. In parentheses, write down this word faithfulness. that will never be a substitute for faithfulness. He said, go. He came back and said, nothing. He said, go again. 7 times. And on the 7th. Now, real quickly, I'm not like some of my friends. I got some friends of mine that know everything about the Bible. If you don't believe it, you ask them. I got this friend of mine that's got a sermon on the Antichrist. He knows everything about Revelation. I mean, he knows who the witness is going to be. He knows how many hairs is in the horse's tail. And I asked him, I said, man, that sermon you got, you act like you know who the Antichrist is going to be. He said, I should, bless God. I've been married to his daughter for 45 years. But I'm not like some of my friends. I don't know everything about the Bible. And Brother Steve, I don't know how far it was, the distance. I don't know how far it was from where Elijah is telling him to go look to where the boy's got to go. But the Bible said he went. So that was some distance to travel. I don't know how far it was. I don't know if it was a mile, a half a mile, or 10 feet. But whatever it was, he had to travel it. Yes, sir. Now, I want you to be Elijah. And I want you to tell me to go look. And I'm going to tell you what I see. Tell me, go look.
Go look.
I'm going to go up this path. And I'm going to look. And I'm going to go back that path and say, nothing. I'm going to go again. Same thing. Nothing.
Go again.
Now I'm going to tell you before I get over there, there wasn't nothing before and there ain't nothing now and there ain't nothing. Nothing.
Go again.
You got to be kidding me. I done told you there ain't nothing. A Southern Baptist wouldn't do this. A Free Will Baptist wouldn't do this. But an Independent Baptist would do this right here. I don't know why in the world I'm doing this. By God, I done been up here four times. Ain't nothing. What nothing for? I started. Ain't going to be nothing when I get up there. Sure enough, nothing. I'm going to tell him one more time. Nothing. I've been up there like you said. This is trip number 4. Nothing. Oh, I knew he was going to say that. Trip number 5, same thing. Nothing. Now, I've been up there 5 times, and there's nothing. Oh, mercy. I done walked up that same path. I done walked up that same road. I know every blade of grass. I know every molehill. I know every bug. I know every side ditch. I know every mud hole. I got a wore out. And I'm nothing. I've prayed all night, got nothing. I've preached my heart out and got nothing. I've witnessed to my family and got nothing. And I'm on my 6th trip. Well, I want to tell you, same thing I told you a while ago. Nothing. How can I do it? I'm wore out, buddy. I know every path. I know every crack in the ground. I know every rocks. It's getting kind of monotonous. It's getting kind of burdensome. It's getting kind of boring. I done this before. Over and over and over again. Oh, but wait a minute. Woo! You ain't gonna believe this. Hold on, man of God. I see a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Oh, I don't know how far it was. You say he went 7. I'm not trying to read in the Bible, but inevitably it's more than 7. 14. Because he done been up there once. Now he's got to turn around and go back that same path. 14 times. Yes, Seven up, seven back. Seven up, seven back. After 14 miserable trips up and back to that top of that hill and back, there is nothing. But it didn't happen on number one. It didn't happen on number two. It'd been easy to quit on number three, get aggravated at number four, get mad at number five, get bitter at number six. Oh, but I just come to tell somebody, open your Bible, read one more time, take you another text, preach you another sermon, pass out another tract, sing another song, lift your hands and shout glory one more time, because in the midst of your nothing, and you plowed it before, you prayed it before, you preached it before, you walked it before, what's going to be difference between this time and the next time? I'll tell you what it is. God, who is everything, will step into your nothing and bring out something. You just be faithful. You just be faithful. You just be faithful. Preach it again. Plow again. Shout again. Love again. Witness again. Don't give up. God's about to step in the middle of your nothing. And it came to pass. And it will for you too. The seventh time. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. When those two sisters sang, that was more than talent. It's faithfulness. Your daddy was more than a good preacher. He's faithful. My daddy was more than my hero and a great preacher. He was faithful. Hinkle Little was more than a preacher and a singer and a camp meeting moderator. He was faithful. My little old mama's faithful. I can't preach like some of these great preachers. I'm not even going to try. And I definitely can't sing no more. My singing career was over before it got started. Can I get a witness? I can't preach like some. I can't sing like some. I can't give $1 million to the work of God. I can't build a mega church. I can't raise billions of dollars. I can't get on the TV and say, hello world, and $5 million come in. I don't have all that talent and all that ability, but there is one thing I can do. I can plow in my row, bloom where I'm planted, walk in my path, and I can be faithful. I can preach again today, and by the grace of God, preach again tomorrow. Shout a little today, and by the grace of God, shout a little bit tomorrow. I wonder how many people failed at something because they quit too soon. But on the other hand, I wonder how many succeeded and they did something great for God because they tried it one more time. But you say, preacher, I'm tired. Try it one more time. I'm discouraged. Try it one more time, but I'm weary. Try it one more time. Preach one more time. Read the Bible one more time. Shout hallelujah one more time. It ain't over. God's not forgotten about you. Consistency, consistency. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Be faithful in going, and God will give the increase. Word number four, command, compliance, consistency. I love this. You ready? Confidence. Confidence. Twice in the text it said, and it came to pass as though God had planned it all along. Now I got a wild imagination. Let me use it. They'll straighten it out tomorrow. If I'd have been that boy, after about four or five of nothing trips, and every time I come back, he says the same thing. Go again. I believe I might just say, excuse me, sir, do you know something I don't know? I done told you there's nothing, but you telling me to go again? Do you know something I don't know? Elijah might say, well, I don't know if I know something you don't know, but I've been where you not been. Because experience births expectation. Lord God, somebody put that on a plaque and sell it at Cracker Barrel when I'm dead. You can say you was here when the nut said it. Experience births expectation. Man of God, I done told you there's nothing. You keep telling me to go, do you know something I don't know? Well, I don't know about that, but I've been where you not been. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Son, God took me over there by the brook, and I drank till the brook dried up. And God showed up. He said, I didn't have nothing. I didn't have no food. And God flew her in the morning. And God flew her in the evening. And I ate it that I was nothing. And then he reached over there and told me to go to this widow's house. And me and her both had nothing. I mean, she had just a little meal and a little oil. Just about nothing. But God fed me upon nothing. And then to make matters worse, her little boy died. Her husband's already died. And now she don't have nothing. But I breathed over that boy, and God raised that boy from the dead. Son, the reason why I'm telling you to go when there's nothing, the same God that gave me by the brook, and the same God that showed up by the barrel, and the same God that showed up by the boy, is the same God that'll show up on the battle. If God can make the ravens come and the meal barrel never run dry, and God raised somebody from the dead, good God Almighty, he can make it rain. Hey, confidence. You've seen God work before. You've seen God move before. You've seen God come through before. He'll come through again. He'll wax eloquent again. He'll rise to the occasion again. Just keep on going, because experience births confidence that he'll do it again. I'm done. But I want to use my wild imagination one more time. Man of God, it ain't much. It's little. And it looks like a man's hand. I want to say, oh boy, it ain't no man's hand. It's the man's hand. Son, you know what that hand you're seeing is? The one that stepped out upon nothing and started with nothing and said, there's something. And he reached into nothing. And that hand, he scooped out the oceans and heaped up the mountains and mashed down the deserts and traced down the rivers and made birds and flowers and trees and made a man. Son, that hand shielded Moses in the cliff of the rock. That hand shielded the Hebrew boys from the fire. That hand locked the jaws of the lion. And we know something about it that man didn't know. That hand touched the blind man. That hand touched the leprous man. That hand touched a dead man, and it was those hands nailed to that cross. It was those hands that were raised in victory, and it was his hand that reached further down than you can reach up. It's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Victory's on the way. Revival's on the way. God's on the way. Just keep on going when there's nothing. And that little old cloud turned into black clouds, and there was a great rain. And in my wild imagination, I believe somewhere out there in the soaking rain was that servant. I believe he's going, I'm gonna win again. I'm glad I went again. Oh, the rain is so good. That makes up for them nothing times. Preacher, you can strike out 100 times. And preach one time under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and you want to get soused again. You know what some of y'all ought to do tonight? You ought to lift both hands and say, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. When your little child comes home to God, you're going to say, I'm glad I went. When some old sinner walks the aisle when you preach, you're going to say, I'm glad I went. When some child of God gets blessed, you're going to say, I'm glad I went. Somebody loves the Lord, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. I believe when we stand in the celestial city of God and look upon the Lamb of God, we'll be glad we went again. We'll be glad we went again. You keep on going when there's nothing, God will step into your world. Woo! I'm done. Let her rain. Have you a spell in the rain? God's going to show up at your church. God's going to show up in your prayer closet. God's going to show up in your family. God's going to meet your need. He's never a day late nor a dollar short. He's never been discouraged. He's never been bewildered. He's never been out of shape. He's never been bent out of sorts. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He is faithful. He is eternal. He is God. And besides him, there is none else. You ought to praise him by faith. Worship him by faith. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. He's God when you're nothing. He's God when you feel like nothing. He's God when you ain't said nothing, ain't seen nothing, ain't thought nothing, ain't accomplished nothing, because we are nothing. For without him, we can do nothing. But he's everything. He's everything that he claimed to be and a whole lot more. We'll just keep on going when there's nothing. Sang, young'uns.